This is Yashev Jacob Podcast, episode 29, Starting a Culinary Herb Garden. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Found online at AskChefJacob.com, part of the Stella Culinary podcasting network. My name is Jacob Burton. That would make sense, right? Because you're listening to a podcast called Ask Chef Jacob. It'd be kind of weird if my name was like Mechanic Dan, right? And in this episode, we will be answering a question about culinary herb gardens and what my go-to herbs would be. And this question comes from Thea. Thea says, I want to grow my own herbs for recipes, and I'm going to get a biopod from a Kickstarter campaign to plant them sometime in March. Is there a list of staple herbs you have on hand to use fresh in your recipes? If so, what are they and where would I order them from? I'm really enjoying your videos and podcasts, Thea. All right, Thea, well, that's a great question. Biopod, huh? I haven't heard of that yet. Let's pull this up here. This is one of my favorite things to do.
Imagine a system that can replicate environments.
Listen to watch videos while you guys are listening, right?
This Let's check it out, though. This is Biopod, the looks world's like a, most versatile microhabitat.
Looks like a big fish tank. Or like a medium-sized fish tank. It's all glass.
Tell Biopod what you want it to grow and watch it happen. Replicating the most precise seasonal fluctuations year-round. Biopod is space-age technology in your own home.
As a young biologist, I was researching the conservation of frogs in the tropical rainforest.
This is Jared
rainforest.
Wolf, their
frogs are one of the world's most sensitive creatures. Creator. They're often considered the canary in the coal mine for the entire planet. And because their habitat is disappearing so rapidly, it was necessary to develop new technology in order to preserve a copy of the pristine rainforest that these animals enjoy in nature. And then came the question, if we can make a system that can replicate this environment, why can't it do more?
Biopod has numerous applications. Use it to grow organic, fresh herbs. To house your favorite reptiles.
By the way, that lady who's cutting basil in the video, her shift knot is really bad. She's holding the knife all wrong and the strips are way too thick. But anyways.
Or as a beautiful addition to your home decor. Biopod's advanced sensory feedback system measures crucial data from your biopod and sends it to our cloud for analysis. Our algorithms then send back data to your biopod so that it can create an optimal environment. We've packed a considerable amount of advanced technology into each biopod. The Wi-Fi connected app and HD...
All right, cool. So we get it. It's a fancy fish tank that grows stuff. It actually looks pretty cool. My one question about this is, what are the dimensions? It looks kind of small, but well, that's okay. That's a good starting point. Let's talk about the size, because and this is to answer your question on, you know, what herbs to grow. So if you're limited to just the size of the biopod, you're gonna want fresh herbs that tend to go bad quickly if you were to purchase them from the store or are a little bit finicky. So the very first one that I would say off the top of my head is basil. Basil goes bad very quickly after you purchase it. And it's also difficult to grow. And the reason why is because basil likes a certain kind of soil, but also is very temperamental in temperature. If basil gets just a little bit cold overnight, and it doesn't have to get freezing, if you have a bit of a cold snap in your area, which can happen in most parts of the world unless you live in, you know, very close to the equator. If you have a cold snap, then your basil is going to be toast. So the first thing I would recommend using your biopod to grow, or just to grow, if you have like one of these systems, is basil. I was just at a, I did a custom, like a private culinary boot camp with a guy up in Canada. And he had this thing that was really cool. It looked like a basically like a wine fridge, and it had two levels with lights, and you could even plumb it directly in to your water system, and it would fill it up with water or whatever. But you know, it worked awesome for growing microgreens, which is nice. So you can grow microgreens for a touch, but also too, it's a good place to grow herbs that again are hard to either find in your area or that go bad quickly. And especially basil, you know, basil can sometimes be difficult to find in the winter months. So, and not just, you know, regular Italian basil, but also Thai basil, any other sort of, you know, herbs that go bad, like chives. Chives tend to go bad quickly as well once you cut them. So cutting fresh chives makes a massive difference. Now, a fun little trick with chives as well is if you feed them a lot of nitrogen. So you can do like you can get like a nitrogen rich bat guano and make a tea with that, and then foliar feed by just spraying it directly onto the chives. The chives get extremely spicy, you know, so like very, very garlicky and spicy and oniony. So if you want to have like strong, powerful chives, that's a good way to go. Now, another way that I would probably use the biopod is I would throw little starter pots in there of herbs and use those to get them going, especially in the summertime. So, you know, something like, you know, rosemary or thyme or tarragon. Tarragon is actually probably another good one to put in your biopod and grow from start to finish, because tarragon is a tender herb that can, you know, break down and get bruised relatively easily. Now, as far as having fresh herbs on hand for your culinary garden, the few that I would say off the top of my head, chives, basil, thyme, and you can never grow enough thyme, because you'll put thyme in your soups, you'll put thyme in your stocks. You know, so thyme is just, you know, a universal great culinary herb. Tarragon, rosemary, and rosemary is nice because it's very hardy, so it's easy to grow. So is sage. But you're going to be using rosemary and sage in lesser amounts because they're both very pungent herbs. So, you know, rosemary, you can go and grab some when, you know, roasting a leg of lamb and you want to make a little rosemary sauce, or, you know, put a little bit of a, you know, fried rosemary in a tomato sauce. Rosemary and chicken, right? Do a rosemary marinade or a rosemary brine. Also, you know, you could grow some parsley or some cilantro, but parsley and cilantro tend to be easy to find even year-round in most supermarkets, at least in the United States. But I can't imagine it's anywhere different or it's that much different anywhere else. You know, I was just up in Canada. It's the dead of winter in Canada when I was up there, and the cilantro and parsley were easy to find. And when you're storing your herbs like cilantro and parsley, just a damp paper towel, so wet underwater, give it a good squeeze, roll the herbs up in there, and then place it in a zip-top bag. And that's the way it'll last the longest in your fridge. So I probably wouldn't, I mean, unless you're just, you know, want to have a totally exhaustive herb garden for culinary herbs, I probably wouldn't bother growing my own parsley or growing my own cilantro, because they're pretty easy to find at the store. Even in the summer, when you go to buy basil from the supermarket, I tend to be very disappointed with it. The basil loses its freshness very quickly after you cut it. So, you know, definitely having fresh basil on hand, fresh chives on hand is going to be a nice touch. And cutting it fresh is always great. You know, so you want to, you know, if you can get away with cutting your basil just minutes before using it, the fragrance and aroma that you're going to get from that is going to be really, really hard to beat. Okay, so you're going to, I mean, just a very simple tomato sauce where you take, you know, raw plum tomatoes, peel them, maybe give them a quick blitz with a food processor, heat it up to a simmer, salt, pepper, touch of fish sauce, because fish sauce and tomatoes go great together, so it'll bring up the umami, and then finish with a tiny little chiffonade of basil. And I will put a chiffonade basil video in the show notes of this episode so you can see what I'm talking about if you're unfamiliar with that technique. But just that basil and the tomato, the way they're going to play together, and just cutting that basil right at the very end is going to just take this very, very simple tomato sauce to the next level. So if you're actually going to grow fresh herbs in the biopod, or if you're going to just, if you have like one of those indoor growing machines like the the cabinet that my friend had, or even the, what's the other one? There's like an arrow something where, like an arrow grow, I think. Anyways, there's a few different things on the market, but the biggest drawback between all of them is limited space. So in the winter time, when you don't really have the capability to transplant your fresh herbs outside, then in the biopod, I would probably, personally, I would grow basil, fresh tarragon, and chives. And between those three, you know, cutting them fresh and using as garnish, you're going to have a nice versatility of herbs to use. And then when it got closer to spring or even into summer, I would probably start using my biopod as an incubator, right? So I would plant my my basil seeds, I'd plant my chive seeds, I'd get them going in small little pots, and then once they were established, I would then move them outside and make room for more stuff. Another fun thing that you can do in a grower like this is microgreens, which basically you just take a bunch of seeds of something, so it can be, why am I drawing a blank? Seeds of anything, really. It's, you can do basil. Mustard was the one I was thinking of. I love like the little mustard microgreens. And technically, you don't even need a biopod to do this because seeds don't need, in the first few days of their life, they don't really need any sunlight to sprout. And once they sprout, they'll grow for the most part without a whole lot of sunlight. And microgreens are just usually the first water leaves, the first couple of leaves of a seed. And it takes about 14 days once they germinate, about 10 to 14 days once they germinate, to get to the size where you would cut them. And you take these little microgreens. They have a very nice, subtle, intense flavor that, and they look visually beautiful on plate. So you go into a high-end restaurant, a lot of times you'll see them using these little tiny baby sprouts and greens of all different colors, shapes, and sizes to garnish your plate. Well, cutting those fresh directly out of a grow machine like you have is a really nice way to elevate your dish, add a fresh flavor, and give a beautiful garnish. So, you know, you can be pan roasting some chicken, and just right at the last second, you take your pan roasted chicken breast, you place it on the plate, and you cut some little mustard microgreens so they're still fresh as you cut them, and you garnish your plate with them. Beet greens are beautiful too, so you take beet seeds, you plant those, and they're purple, so in the industry, we actually call them bull's blood, and they are these dark, rich purple sprout that look really nice as a garnish. So microgreens and just planting different herb seeds is a another way. So I hope that answered your question. Biopod looks pretty cool. I might actually have to get one of those once they hit the market. But do me a favor, Thea, and let us all know how you like your biopod in the show notes of this episode. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. I'm starting a new one. That's the wrong music. Oh my goodness. Here we go. That's our ending music. What's wrong with me today? Need more coffee. All right, so that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Thanks so much for your question, Thea. I really appreciate it. This episode's show notes can be found at stellacolinary.com/ACJ29. I'll put some links in this show notes episode. I'll link to the biopod. I'll also link to some other grill machines out there. And my basil chiffonade video. If you have any questions or comments on this episode, head on over to the show notes and you can ask them there. If you have a question you'd like answered on an upcoming episode of Ask Chef Jacob, you can do so by going to stellacolinary.com/ACJ and submit your question either through an email or voice. All right, I'll talk to you all in the next episode.